I've been presented is what you told me, the George Woods. And for all I knew, Bob, you never asked me to recommend you. For all I know, from your conversation, George Woods might even have the power to appoint you, from all I knew.
Oh,
the first I knew about anything beyond that stage was when Henry Fowler said, I want two other names.
Yeah.
And I want Doug Dillon and Rockefeller. And I thought, well, I've said to McNamara that he's entitled to anything in the world. Now, wouldn't I be nice to tell Henry to name Doug Dillon and Rockefeller? I couldn't get more competition. So I said, hell no. If you don't give any names, let George Woods go on hammering. But if you give any names, give these two. And that was only after 30 minutes of argument. Now, I think that what you've got to do, we've got to clean up this memorandum. The way I would clean up this memorandum, paragraph 1 on the 18th, I don't know anything about that. So if your records confirm that's all right.
That's the only one I have any notes on.
All right. Then I would say toward the end of the summer, George asked me whether I'd mentioned our April 18th conversation to you. That's C. I replied that I had, but I'd emphasize my primary responsibility would serve you as long as you wish me to. Now, that's where I'd stop. I wouldn't say I fully expected to remain until the end of your terms. I don't think you ever told me end of my term. I think you told me that you were available to me as long as I wanted you and needed you.
All right.
And it wasn't confined to a term. That doesn't mean that you're going to just stay this term or not stay the next one.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what you said to me is you just wanted understood that your first obligation to loyalty to the country and second to serve me as long as I was president, when you could be helpful and if I wanted you. So I would just put period after two.
Yep.
Then he wanted to say that he implied such schedule. What I would say, he said that he had agreed with the board that he would serve beyond his term December the 47th for such time up to a year as might be desirable. Now, that's what you told me.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what he's told Henry.
Yeah.
He would serve, he would go on beyond his December term, such term as might be desirable. D, a month or two ago, while we were in your small inner office, and I believe we can confirm that, you can check it with yours, I believe it's October 16th, it shows we were in there from 7 to 8 something, and I may be vague, but I think you told me you need to drive to Baltimore and left at 8 o'clock. I think maybe I would have wanted you to stay till 10 and eat dinner with me or something. But anyway, October 16th, you were alone with me in the small office from 7 something to 8 something. We've got the diary, and I'll give you that. And I think that's
one month. I'll just put it down. That's the month or two ago. I'll just say on October 16th.
16th. While we were sitting here small, you asked whether I'd heard any more about the World Bank. I replied I had not, and I made no effort to discuss the subject with George Will. You said I deserve whatever I wanted. I don't think I limited to the government. I think I said that I think you deserve anything you want in this world, and I'd be glad to do what I can to see that you have it. But who would take your place? Who could take your place? I think that's about something I said. What I was thinking about, if this thing broke, and if I did do it, what in the hell would I do and who would recommend it? I said, I think that you deserve anything that you would desire, and I would like to see you have it. President of Chase National or World Bank or anything else. Because I'll get into the reasons for that in a moment. And I would like to see you have it. But who could you recommend to succeed you? At that time, you listed, four possibilities, period. That's the way I'd let that second know. Because I think whoever I select, and as far sure who will go in that place. I think whoever I select has got to be somebody that you recommend, that's your friend, for two reasons. One, to support what you have done to the letter instead of find fault with it, because it just destroys me, anybody that would ever criticize you. He's got to be your nominee, almost, and he's got to know it, and I've got to know it. Now, I replied that there's only one obligation, that of mine to you, and I propose to fulfill it. Now, you've said that to me several times, so I think that's right. Now we take up D. George Woods called me at home last Tuesday and Wednesday, told me you had submitted my name. Now, I haven't submitted your name.
Let me cross that and say he had submitted my
name. That's right. He had submitted my name to the directors for their consideration. He said the nomination, because I wouldn't say some controversy, he said the nomination was under consideration.
Yeah.
And the directors would meet to formally to vote on it. I think they're meeting informally today, so I'd say the directors would meet to vote on it at an early date.
Yeah.
After receiving instructions from their government.
Yeah.
I think that statement, we ought to have that statement filed. Then I think today you and I ought to get together sometime around the noon. I haven't looked at my schedule because I've been putting out these damn fires. I think that we ought to get together and we ought to preferably to having a press conference. You see, they're going to hound you to death. And what you've got to do and what I've got to do is clear this thing up. And I can't clear it up. You're the only one can clear it up because they got the idea that either that the Joint Chiefs are resigning because you're there or you're being fired or they want to work some controversy into the thing. And we cannot make it appear. There are three things I don't think we can make it appear. I think that... I don't like this job of you're not liking the war policies and you're being overruled and all that. If anybody's been supported in this government, you have. You've closed every damn base in the country. You've done things that Kennedy never did approve of, and you've never been criticized once that I know about. If I've ever called you up and said that I disapprove what you've done, I don't know it, and I don't now. So I think we've got to make that clear.
Right.
I think your statement ought to say substantially what's said here. Here is a sequence. Then I think it, when they, I think you might add, but this is a matter for you, I just giving you my viewpoint, I think you might add that I will serve 7 years in this job longer than anyone else. And I have said to the president a number of times that I want only to serve so long as I'm essential and necessary, and he feels so. But when I leave here, if I leave defense, and I know he's been interested, I think you could just say the president's asked me to take other has suggested to me that he would like for me to serve in other cabinet posts several times. That's state, HUD, and HEW. Right. That's true. And the White House. I've suggested four things.
Yeah.
He suggested that he'd like for me to serve in other cabinet posts. And one thing I want the press the country to know that I had an interest in doing something constructive. Now, in this war-torn world, when peace comes, the outfit that I think is going to have the most to do in building it in that area and other areas is the World Bank. It's not going to be destruction. It's going to be construction. And for that reason and that reason only, Mr. Woods' recommendation interested me. I assume that's true. I assume
right.
That's the only thing. You're certainly not interested in the goddamn job. The price you could get, you're getting that now. So, and I'd say after 7 years and being tired and being operating on building a machine and a military strength, that you'd like to build some economic strength instead of destruction, you'd like to be interested in construction. And I think some newspaper man said that to me, and when I said that, he said that that's the finest explanation I've heard. It gives us a little impression that you think that maybe someday we can save the world and you want to build an institution to do it. And I think then you ought to make that statement. Then when I make it, I ought to come right along and say yes, and I won't talk to you about who's going to succeed you. I've got to have you to make up the budget and try to get it ready for presentation to the Congress, and I'm going in seclusion and you're going in seclusion. I mean, this just kind of backgrounding to work on the budget, and this is all there is to it. And when we have an announcement to make, we do it. And I think we ought to try to agree on who I'm going to send up there. And I don't know how much troubles I'll have with confirmation until this thing gets cleared up, but we've got to get it cleared up before we send somebody, because the whole hearing's going to be on how you've been suppressed.
Sure.
That's right.
Sure.
They're trying to do it with Rusk, and they're going to shift the Rusk thing over to you, and why are you quitting? And it's going to be a kind of a Gavin thing of a fellow that blew up and got hamstrung, and I don't want that to happen. So you rewrite this statement, and then get what you think is appropriate. When I'll get one that's appropriate for me, I'll call you in 2 or 3 hours. Then we'll get together maybe at lunch or so. Oh, I've got a businessman's lunch. You coming to that?
I wasn't invited.
Why don't you come?
I'll be happy to.
I'll just come. We're going to have 100 businessmen over
I'll
here.
Call Marvin and I'll be
That's good. And then we'll talk after the businessman's lunch.
I'll be ready.
Okay.
Thank you.